As we gather on this Christmas Eve to worship, I'd encourage you to take your bulletins. There we have printed at the top of the first page our call to worship. I'll read the lighter lines if you'd respond by reading those in the bold print. The Advent wreath is a circle with no beginning and no end. It is a symbol of God's unending love and faithfulness.
Jesus Christ is the brightest revelation of God's love. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation.
Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped,
but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
We light this candle to remind us to prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, as we gather this night, Lord, we gather with great celebration in our hearts, rejoicing that Christ has come, that we who were in darkness have seen the light of the world, your Son bearing our flesh. And so, Father, as you were faithful in sending your Son, so we look as well to your faithfulness and to the coming of your Son again. Father, may our hearts this night, though, ring out in worship. Might we praise you for what you have done in giving to us your Son. Father, bless now this time as we gather to worship, for we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's rejoice in the one who is faithful. Let's stand. We'll sing together the first three verses of carol number 208. O come, all ye faithful.
Oh, God.
You may be seated. When it came to the Lord's birth, it wasn't something that the faithful, those who studied the scriptures, those of God's people, should have been able to breeze by without noticing. For God in his word clearly set forth that he would send one. He tells his people of the line that this one would come from. He tells them whose child he will be, where he will be born. Yet, a world not looking for Christ will not see him. But we do have God's word. God's word which speaks to us throughout, from cover to cover, of one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. For in the days that our first parents walked, they chose to ignore what the Lord God had to say, and they fell into sin. But immediately upon falling into their sin, the Lord God records for us in Genesis 3 that he comes to the man and the woman. He confronts them in their sin. And then in verse 15 of Genesis 3, we have the first statement of the gospel as the Lord God says to our first parents, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." From that time on, whenever a woman, especially Eve, when she gives birth to her first child, she thinks, "I've given birth to the one." But her firstborn wasn't the one who would overcome the enemy. And so future women would continue to ask, "Is this child I'm giving birth to, would they be the one?" But the Lord God begins to narrow down. He begins to call a people to himself to begin that line whereby we would have our Savior. The Lord calls to a pagan man, to Abram. And he says to him, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So it would come then through the line of this man, Abraham. But then God begins to whittle even further, to narrow the line by which his son would be born. He selects from the tribes of Jacob, one tribe, the tribe of Judah. And the Lord says, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his." See, God's looking down the line to a particular individual. Then we find later that God speaks again to this as he speaks to David, the man after God's own heart, the great king of Israel. The Lord says to David, "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up from your offspring to succeed you, one who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." So the Lord says, it's going to be a child of the woman, a child of Abraham from the tribe of Judah. But then the Lord says something even more astounding. The Lord confronts one of the kings of Israel, an unfaithful king, and says, "You know what? Ask me for a sign, and I will show it to you. I don't need a sign." And the Lord says, Well, I tell you what, I will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. And the Lord speaks even further in the prophecy of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And then in further prophecy, the Lord even tells his people where the child will be born, in the town of David. It's recorded for us in the prophet Micah's writing. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who for me will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. That's the promise that we have, that God would send one to overthrow what had taken place in the garden as sin entered and death through sin. And God says, I'm going to send you one, born of a virgin, who is my own son, who will reign forever. We know that historically that took place on one particular evening as even the angels gathered to rejoice that the king, the one from the line of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, of the lineage of David, was born. Let's stand now and give glory to that one. We'll sing number 203. Hark the herald angels sing.
Thank you.
may be seated. In many ways, Luke was the first church historian. He tells us in his gospel that he had searched out from all the records to come up and put together an account of the life of Christ. And so Luke records for us in his gospel the birth of Christ in these words. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping their watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. As we celebrate tonight, the fact that in love for us, God has given to us his own Son, so in worship we have the opportunity to give. Our Christmas offering, as is our regular offering at this time of year, goes to the Ministerial Relief Fund. It's a fund that goes to help pastors who have fallen into financial distress, and particularly to their widows as well, an opportunity to reach out with the love of Christ to those who have labored for Christ, for the good of his people. As our ushers will come forth to take forward that offering, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice this night in your love for us, which is shown in the giving of your Son, Christ, born of a woman, born into our flesh, that as we cling to him by faith, you might lay our sin upon his shoulders, that you might give to us his righteousness. So, Father, we would worship you this evening through our giving. Lord, rejoicing in what you have by grace given to us. Father, bless what is given, for it is given in the name of our Savior and Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
one person that can put all the parts together and make a computer mouse. He said there's somebody who does this part, and another part comes from another country, and he went on, and even talked about the person who served coffee to the workers on their way into work to put the thing together. And he began to paint a picture of the fact that we are all very, very interrelated. And he said something which you don't often hear anymore. He said, we all serve one another. We are all servants, he said. He said, we work and labor, and what we do and the things we use to do what we do come from others who have served us, and we in turn serve others still. Being a servant isn't a very popular thing in our day. No one aspires to grow up and be a servant. Yet that is exactly why Jesus came, the scripture tells us. I'm going to read that familiar text from Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ came not to be served, he said, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ came to be a servant. He came to take the lowliest of positions so that he could give his life on Calvary's cross to pay for your sin and mine. Born in humble circumstance in a stable, living a life that was often the lowest of the low, humiliated and beaten and crucified, he died so that you and I could live, not just here and now, not just enjoy some pleasures for a few moments, but live forever and enjoy the bounty of heaven and all the glories of the presence of God. Christ serves us so that we might be his forever. I trust that you will hear the call of the scriptures, that we too are to serve one another as we await the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's conclude this evening by turning to number 210. We'll stand as we sing Silent Night.
Thank you. you for joining us tonight. May God bless you and grant you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Receive now his blessing as you leave. Now unto him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.